In 1771, Francis Asbury was just 26 years old when he responded to a call for volunteers, and he was sent to America by John Wesley, landing in Philadelphia, where he began a ministry for the next 45 years. It would take him virtually to all of the colonies, from their western confines into Canada, from Maine to the north, almost to the Gulf of Mexico in the south. Asbury was the first Methodist bishop, and he was a circuit rider, as we heard from him just a few minutes ago, traveling from town to town for over 45 years. And it's recorded in the Methodist history that he traveled over 300,000 miles, preached over 16,000 sermons, and ordained over 4,000 clergy. And the church grew from 200,000 members around the Civil War time to about 1.5 million when he concluded his ministry. And I just found out a couple of days ago, talking to one of the new pastor up at Lebanon United Methodist Church, that Francis Asbury actually preached up in Lebanon. How cool is that? So close to here. Francis Asbury came over to the States with Thomas Coke, and they did ministry together. And one of the things that they did back in that time period was they kept journals. And we're so grateful for the journals that they kept, because we can glean so much of our church history from them, and also history just in general. And I want to share an entry that Asbury and Coke had in their journal. They say, "Our grand object is to raise and preserve a holy and united people. Holiness is our aim, and we pay no regard to numbers, but in proportion as they possess the genuine principles of vital religion." They were after the heart of believers. On October 15th of 1924, President Calvin Coolidge unveiled a statue of Francis Asbury in Washington, D.C., and this is a picture of the statue that is still there today. And I want to share just a little bit with you an excerpt of the speech that Calvin Coolidge shared about Wesley at the unveiling of this statue. He says, "A great lesson has been taught us by this holy life. It was because of what Bishop Asbury and his associates preached, and what other religious organizations through their ministry preached, that our country has developed so much freedom and contributed so much to the civilization of the world." And then also found out that Asbury gave the first presidential congratulatory address to President George Washington. A lot of amazing history with our Methodist roots. I had talked a couple weeks ago about seeds and the importance of planting seeds and the type of soil that they fall on. And the seeds that Wesley planted while he was in Georgia, while he was in America, were being watered by Asbury and the Methodist movement as it gained incredible growth through the grace of God. One of the very early teachings that John Wesley carried out and also instilled in Francis Asbury throughout all of the U.S., was this idea of a theological task, or the study of understanding God in our lives. And it's a method of understanding God at the core of our Methodist belief and tools that we use. And there are four elements in this theological task or theological method. They are scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. And we're going to talk about those this morning. You see, we all have a theology. We all have a theology, and we have this theological task to help us discern what we believe. You know, a lot of times somebody will say, "Well, why do you believe what you believe?" And this theological task that we have been given for hundreds of years helps us to discern our own theology. I'd like to share a passage with you this morning from 2 Timothy, and Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in Jesus as he pastored, and it was Paul's final letter that he wrote. And as I read this to you, I want you to notice Paul's theology in this letter of a final charge to Timothy. Hear these words, and you can also follow on the screen. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. This was an experience that Paul's talking about as he writes to Timothy, experience for his theology. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Tradition is coming into this, and you have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom, and again reason, you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scriptures. Paul brings it all together with the Scriptures. In our Wesleyan theological method, Scripture is primary. It is primary in the method. And Paul, he gets our attention right off the bat in this passage of Scripture. Bad things are going to happen. We can all attest to that. Bad things are going to happen. And he says, follow the right example. Follow the right example and stick with the Scriptures. Follow the right example and stick with the Scriptures. Spiritual warfare. Just as there is good in the world, there's evil in the world. Verse 13, while evildoers are and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, we only need one weapon against spiritual warfare, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. It combats lies with truth. And if you let it, the truth will set you free. The Scriptures provide a guide to Christian living and salvation. So I'd like to share with you just a couple of things of what the Bible does for us. It assures us of God's creation, makes us wise for salvation, shows us spiritual truths, corrects us when we stray from God, instructs us of God's truths, completes us for all eternity, and equips us for every good work. I want to share a quote with you this morning from Charles Spurgeon. Chuck says, the Scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. I hope that sticks with you today. The Scriptures were not given for our information, but our transformation. We are to be changed as a result of God's Word. And it's all a part of our theology and our understanding of God. Next Sunday is going to be Bible Sunday here at Faith Community. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the year, where our elementary kids are going to receive Bibles. And what an opportunity we have as the body of Christ to walk beside them as God comes alive to them through the pages of Scripture. What an opportunity. You don't want to miss next Sunday. The second element is tradition. I want to talk about tradition. It shapes who we are. Here at Faith Community, we have a unique situation where we offer both traditional and contemporary services. Not all churches do that anymore. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in traditional. And that helped form who I am today. And about 20 years ago, Faith Community introduced the contemporary service. In fact, we didn't even have a CLC yet. It was over in the sanctuary is where we had the contemporary service. And what an awesome opportunity that we are shaped by two different traditions of worship. I want to give you another example of tradition and the different traditions that we have in our lives through our church experiences and understanding of God. In the United Methodist Church, we typically take communion once a month, and we take it on the first Sunday. And in our tradition, we typically take it by passing the elements in the rows, or we come forward and take it by intinction, where we dip the bread in the cup. And for us, it's a symbol of the body and the blood of Christ. It's a symbol, but also more than a symbol. Not quite the actual body and the blood, but a symbol for us and Christ for us. And in the Catholic tradition, we have got some folks that grew up in the Catholic tradition. Communion is offered every week. And it is offered each week, and there is a single cup that is drank from, and it contains real wine, where we have grape juice in the Methodist Church. And it's considered the actual body and the actual blood of Christ. You see, we all bring different traditions to the table that shape our theology. It's a part of our story. There's no right and there's no wrong. It's all just a part of our story and the traditions that shape who we are. So as I talk about tradition, think about some things that have shaped you, traditions that have shaped your view of God, your view of how we experience his church. The third element is experience. So we've got scripture being primary, our traditions help form our theology, and then our experiences help form our theology. You see, it's not just what I read about God in the Bible or what tradition I come from, but how I personally experience God in my life. How is God showing up in your life? I think sometimes people can turn from God or stop believing because their theology is solely on experience. Remember what Paul said, you're going to experience bad times. I did, he said, persecution and suffering. And we hold on to the word of God in the good times and in the bad. So how have you suffered or experienced trials? Who are the Pauls in your life? How have you learned from them? Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous, don't be terrified. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you, and he will never forsake you. So important. We all have bad experiences and good experiences. And one of the things that this area is rich with is resources and opportunities. And I have to tell you, if you can't find a place to go out to dinner, I don't know what to tell you. We've got a lot of restaurants here in this area. And when we go to these restaurants or shopping, we have experiences, right? We might have a good experience. We might have a bad experience. And if we have a bad experience, we're likely to not go back, find somewhere else to go, and probably not recommend that restaurant to another person. So I want you to think about this through the lens of the church. How can you make church a good experience for someone else? How can you make church a good experience for someone else? And as we take church outside these walls to share the love, as we do this once a month, to share the love, how can someone experience the love of Christ through us? And then we have our own experiences, our own experiences. What's your story? How is God speaking to you in your circumstance? Have you experienced healing? Maybe an answer to prayer? Your phone rang just when it needed to. I've shared with you in the past, for my family, we're big pennies from heaven people. I've always got a penny story. And I had shared a couple of weeks ago that my daughter was gifted a car through a car ministry. And, you know, I think you remember this. And I was trying to get an insurance, you know, lower the insurance. And they sent this horrible device, you know, to track your driving. And it ended up in my car and not hers. I didn't sign up for that, but... So anyway, when we had picked up the car, she was heading out of the lot, and she had the window rolled down, and I'm talking to her. And you know what it's like when you're in a new car or a different car? You're looking in all the compartments, and you're doing all kind of different things, right? And so she's like half listening to me. She pulls out this little drawer on the car, and what is in that but a penny? There is a penny. And so I share that with you because we all have stories. I've talked to so many of you, and for some of you, it's a cardinal. You may have a cardinal appear. You may have a rainbow appear just at that right moment. But God showing up at just the right time. I'm not one that believes in coincidences. I believe that God is at work in our lives. Sometimes to reassure us, sometimes to tell us to stop worrying and to keep the faith and that everything's going to be all right. You may have heard this before, this GPS, that it's God's positioning system. Friends, you are always on God's GPS. You are always on God's GPS. And then we have the fourth element, which is reason. God has given us brains to make sense of things, right? We can think. We have the capacity to analyze, to ask questions, to make sound judgments. And in our theology and understanding of God, we have the ability to think for ourselves, to think for ourselves. So how do you live for Christ in these chaotic and turbulent times? How do you live for Christ in these chaotic and turbulent times? We live in a world who wants to cause division and divide us. We see it in race. We see it in politics. We see it in religion. So divisive right now, our country. And a question for you this morning is, how are you living in unity for Christ? How are you living in unity for Christ? I'm going to tell you something. As we have this theological method, every one of us has a different theology. And that's okay. God's given us this ability to reason, to make sense. We have different views of politics. We've got Democrats and Republicans, and we're made up of all different sorts of beliefs. But how can we be united in Christ and set aside our differences? Set aside our differences. As Methodists, the theological method is the core to who we are and what we understand about God. I want to share an illustration with you of wind chimes. And some of you may have these in your homes, on your front porches or back porches. And we've got these beautiful tubes, and inside there's a clapper. The bottom is the sail. And as the wind moves, it causes the wind chimes to make just a beautiful sound. And I'd like to use this illustration to demonstrate our belief of theology. You see, these outer tubes are our tradition and our reason and our experience. And the inside piece is Scripture that causes all of them to move. And then at the bottom, as this moves and makes beautiful noise, it represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working between our Scripture and our tradition and our reason and our experience, that we can understand God and the beautiful sound that He makes in our lives. The beautiful sound that He makes in our lives. I want to share a passage of Scripture with you this morning. And as I read you what is on the screen, I want you to hear these words. I want you to hear these words as I read them aloud. And I want you to listen for a word or a phrase that speaks to you of this Scripture. Hear these words. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I want to read that to you again one more time, but this time we have an image up on the screen. And I want you to reflect on this image and what your response is to God this morning after hearing His word. Hear these words. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Friends, we have a God who loves you so much that it's a reckless type of love that He has for you, that He pursues every last one of you. In those moments where we're lost, where we're hurting, where we've strayed. And in those moments where we have just been afraid. a reckless love that pursues each and every one of us. We have those moments where he has found us and gently puts us on his shoulders and brings us home to him. Won't you pray with me? God, we come to you in this moment. God, we thank you for this reckless love that you have for us. God, that you pursue us. That in these moments where we stray and we've turned away from you, that you don't turn away from us. That we may have moments where we're out and we're lost and we're afraid, but you see us. And God, you rejoice when we return to you. So we thank you for that grace and that reckless love that you have for each and every one of us. God, we thank you for the ways that you speak to us, that through this theological method that we have, that Scripture comes alive and we get to experience you in real and authentic and powerful ways. So God, I pray that you would just move in our midst. God, I ask that you would bless our time together. I pray for anointing, a fresh anointing on each and every one of us here. Lord, that this is just not information for us, but it is transformation, God, that you would speak into every one of our hearts. I pray these things in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen.